There's not a one of us here that's not called to fly with eagles. Each person here, that's called. And that's the place of real happiness and joy in a believer's life. There's some things about it that's really scary, and we're going to talk about those a little bit this morning, Lord willing. But that's where God's called. And when you have that sense of lift, I can't describe it. A chicken doesn't have that, but eagle does. There's that sense of lift. There's that sense that you can feel God's calling you to a higher place. If you have that sense that God's calling you to a higher place spiritually, it's because He is. God's calling us up. Now, the wonderful thing, eagles have so many wonderful characteristics. We could spend probably the rest of the morning just talking about that. I just want to mention one. They have a supernatural eyesight. They're able to see it. A lot of times we go and say, I don't know where that came from, but I don't know what. And all the time the Lord is trying to get us to elevate. You can just see further from a higher position. You can see further the higher that you fly. And so I just want to really encourage you. And that's why Robert Morrison, it's been so good to be in the simulcast here to see what the Lord. Now, we're enlisted for two prayer groups this morning, but I'm enlisting for a third. And somebody says, some chicken here says, I don't understand all those prayer groups. You don't have to, man. This is an army marching forward. And in any army, you've got different groups of soldiers that's taking care of different things. Now, aren't you thankful that we have an infantry today? Aren't you thankful that we have an artillery today? Aren't you glad that we have armed services in the air today? Amen. Aren't you thankful that we have armed services on the water today? And because of that, we feel safe right here. That's the same way that happens in a church too. When you get the various ones in the position that God's placed them, there is a sense of divine safety that resonates over us. Praise the Lord. So we've called for in the 24-hour prayer group. That's those that dedicate that 1 hour to the Lord prior to service time on here on Sundays. Because, see, we have a problem. The Bible says, Paul tells us in the Word, that the Word which we preach is not with Word only, it's with power. So the Word that somebody hold up the gospel, hold it up right there between your hands. There, in that, if we believe that, then it is to be words mixed with power. And so if it's the true gospel, what Paul said, it's to be words mixed with power. So if you're believing the right word, it should be words mixed with power. Amen. So that's where we're dealing at. So, but I feel that I need to call for another group. I'm just asking for a few. I'm really looking for 7 people that will join with me in a 40-day time of praying toward fighting spiritual warfare. I'm talking about in your prayer time that you would join with me for 40 days. I'm going to give you, so we'll be praying together. We'll be praying together against the forces of darkness, because not only do we need to protect our children, and not only do we need to believe God for power, we need to stomp on the devil's head. Can you say amen? So I'm looking for those mature soldiers, and I only need 7 of them. Got 2 of them out of the early service. So if that's you, then you talk to me personally. Just tap me on the shoulder. Say, I want to be one of those that will attack the devil, because that rascal's attacked me so much, I'm going to have some fun just attacking him back for the glory of God. We're talking today about being able to be free. Now, that's where that Robert Morris and the simulcast that we've been for the last several weeks. Been a powerful word to us. Because, believe it or not, God wants us free. Now, freedom simply comes as I'm able to surrender. It takes first an initial to the breaking out or the breaking off of that spirit or the casting out of that spirit in all of our lives. Man, I've had so many spirits attack me during the past many years. Some spirits I was able to handle with my lonesome in Jesus. Some spirits, it took my buddy over here praying with me to initially break the power of that. But it's pretty easy to get free. That's what we're saying. It's pretty easy. If you've got things bothering you, don't say you're bound, can't get out. Oh, just stand up and say, I declare in Jesus' name. Because the major characteristic of a believer listed number 1 in the book of Mark, he cast out devils. You're able to deal with devils. That's not a scary word. You are empowered by God. There's somebody here this morning that you just need, probably several, just need to stand up right now and take authority over an area in your life that you feel like is infiltrated by the devil. Somebody just stand up with me. We're going to pray together over that. If you feel like there's an area of your life that's infiltrated by the devil, we're just going to break that initial assault in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus right now, coming in your authority, the Bible said that you have given us power and authority over all serpents, Lord, over the demonic powers of the enemy. Your son's name prevails. So in the name of Jesus, we break the power of the enemy. And we command you, enemy, to loose God's children. Loose those that love God. Loose those that yearn to be full of God. You loose those. In the name of Jesus, we take authority now and we decree and declare it done for the glory of God. Now somebody put on a war dance, because Jesus, we break it. We sever it. You may be seated. But to get free, it just takes an initial breaking. But it becomes a different story when it comes to staying free. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, as along with last Sunday. I want to talk to you about staying free. Because you can get free in a moment. But staying free is a lifetime. It's a lifestyle that lasts a lifetime. So let's just see what the word of the Lord says. If you would turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, we're going to talk about how can I stay free. Many of you, Sunday after Sunday, you begin to see things as Brother Robert Morris exposed them to us, and you begin to do warfare and begin to break those things off of your life. And those, I tell you, sometimes we just see the devil as that roaring lion, as the Bible talks about him. And sometimes you can see the devil as that great wolf. But I'm going to tell you what the devil is most of the time. He's a termite. He's just eating it away. That's all he is. He's just a termite. And he's eating away at your life. So what you want to do, just as would with physical termite, you want to find that infestation. Spray it with some good, Terminex or Jesus X. Spray it and get it out of your life. But now when it comes to staying free, and Joyce, where are you at? There you are. You're going to help me, because I'm going to use what the Lord showed you last Sunday, okay? You're going to help me by way of you shared it with me. I'm going to share it with the people. All right, in Galatians chapter 5, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. Everybody say stay free. That's an individual responsibility. That's not the Lord's responsibility. He said, you stay free. So it's my individual responsibility. Now, Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Now, you can argue with demonic attacks. You can argue with that all you want to. But Jesus kind of just put an end to the argument and gave us such easy words to understand. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, it said, but the unclean spirit, when he's gone out of the man, he passes through waterless places seeking rest, and he finds it not. So what does he say? He says, I will return unto my house. And this is the revelation. I'd read this scripture for years and years and had missed this. Joyce came up after service last Sunday and said, Jerry, what the Lord showed me, that the devil is still calling me his house. You see that in that scripture? He said, I'll return to my house. The reason he is so aggressive to come back in or to infiltrate you again is because he's still claiming you as his house. Somebody just stand up and say, I don't belong to him anymore. Somebody that just needs a freedom, I don't belong to him anymore. I don't belong to him anymore. Now see, he's illegally assumed that place. Just same way he did Jesus in the wilderness. When he assumed the place of able to bless Jesus, if Jesus will fall down and worship him. So the devil is a liar, and he believes his own lies. And so he believes his own lies. And so what he says is, he said, I will come back to that same house, or I'll come back to my house, where I came out, and when he has come, he findeth that empty, swept, and garnished. The devil can never come back and find you empty. It's okay to be swept and garnished. It's okay to be clean. And it's okay to be decorated with the love of Jesus. But he cannot find you empty. All right, the next verse says, if he finds you empty, this is what he does. Matthew 12, verse 45. Then goeth he, and he taketh with him seven other spirits. The reason he does that is simply because he knows that he was not able to stay a hold of you the last time. So he said, if I'm going to hold you this time, I've got to have something bigger than me. And so the Bible says he finds seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and he comes to enter back in. Somebody said, I'm not going to answer that doorbell. I'm not going to answer that doorbell. Because we hear us another sound. Book of Revelation tells us that Jesus is standing at our door. And he's knocking. There are higher levels in the Lord that God's calling us to. There is higher levels that God's calling us to live. And that's what God wants us filled with. We've got to be filled with more of him. Anywhere in your life that you have had a freedom, if you don't fill that space up with God, the enemy will reoccupy that space, and the last state will be worse than the first. Now, you can argue me all you want to, you're getting blue in the face, but I've been pastor 40-something years. I've watched this happen time and time again. I've watched this happen in my own personal family. I've watched this happen in this church. I've watched people that were tormented by the enemy get free and begin to live glorious lives in the Lord. And because then they begin to drift off course and they begin to move back. I tell you, I could just start weeping right now when I'm thinking about a man that came and gave his, that radically gave his heart to the Lord, became one of our ministers here, one of our powerful ministers, then died from a drug overdose. Because what happened was he began to be pulled back off course. And even though he was, and I still, his preaching still ministers to me. When he was saved, he preached such powerful words, he preached me. But he began to focus on, don't you allow any distraction of the devil to pull you off course. Amen. And he began to drift. Now, not only him, because I love this young man with all my heart, but I'm talking about there's several I can look back on. You can argue me in the face, honey, and you won't get anywhere. I've watched it happen hundreds of times. That when a person began to drop, they began to get off course, and they're no longer and loving and protecting and cherishing that what God did for them. When they're no longer that, then what the enemy does, he comes in to occupy that empty space. So you've got to get it filled. Everybody say, I must get it filled. I must get it filled up. And there's two power forces that we can fill it up with. Number one is the word. Somebody hold up the word and just shout thankful for the word. Now the next time that the devil tries to ask you why in the world you're taking that much time in the Bible, you tell him, because I don't want to end up like you. Just tell him, I don't want to end up like you. I don't want to end up like you. Talking to the devil, I don't want to end up like you. And so therefore, then we become that vacuum. If it's right, then that empty space in us is like a vacuum. It just sucks in the word. And we desire the word, and we feed that, and it sucks in the Holy Spirit. And so that place that the enemy was cast out is now being filled with God. So that's what we're going to talk about. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, for some more of you arguers, for you are a slave to whatever controls you. That's just, you're a slave to whatever controls you. Well, I want you to know what? I'm Jesus' bondservant here today. I've given him in the Old Testament what they would do, that when a servant was treated really well by their master and they did not want to leave their master, they would come to their master and they would say words like this: you've been so good to me, I don't want to leave you. And that servant would give an ear. They would give an ear, and they would take an awl, and they would puncture that. And that was called a bond servant. It's a bond of love that was formed. Well, I want to tell you what, there's a bond between Jesus and I, and I'm just determined we're not going to serve those other things. Amen? All right. So we're going to talk about staying free and being strong in the Lord. Now, the first thing that's got to be developed is that God's got to develop a warrior's mentality. That's what we talked about last week. Let's go back to a scripture real quick. In Joel chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Say to the nations, far and wide." And during the last days, this is to be said more and more. In the last day experiences, because the Bible says the enemy come down with great wrath. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I've been in some terrible tussles with the devil. And if he's coming down with a greater wrath, man, I want to get closer to Jesus. I want to get closer to the Lord if the enemy's coming down with a greater wrath. All right, it says, say to everybody. Say to everybody, get ready for war. That's what it says. Say to everybody. It says, call out your best warriors. Let all your fighting men advance. Notice what it says, advance for the attack. If you're a fighting soldier, then there is no place. You've got to resolve yourself that I will be a warrior for the rest of my life. We will be warriors until we get to heaven. We will war until we get to heaven. Amen. All right. Then it says in the next verse, verse 10 says, hammer your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. That means whatever you got, make it a weapon. Whatever you have, make it a weapon. Now, I can understand this. When I first started out, praise to me was a love relationship only between me and the Lord. I love to praise it when I began. I remember how my hands would go up so far because I was embarrassed. Anybody see my hands? So I'd make sure that I raised my hands just so far. And so no one else around me could really see other than the people just right directly around me. And then over the period of time, those little hands just like raising a flag, man. They just went higher and higher and higher and higher in my progression with the Lord. But then it was based entirely on my love and my appreciation to God. But later on, I learned that praise is not only my love and appreciation to God, that praise becomes a weapon. And you take everything you got and you make it a weapon. You take everything you got, and that's what it says. It said, beat your plowshares into swords. Make them into weapons. So you take everything you got. So it's not a question. Then you don't have none of that. Well, I don't feel like praising today. Honey, I can't afford not to praise because that devil is sitting right there and I can't afford not to praise. Amen. Because praise is warfare. Everybody say praise is warfare. Praise is warfare. So if what it says is take everything that you got and it said beat it into plowshares. Up at the top, Chance, if you would, want you to be ready. I've got two other little clips, and be ready at any moment. We may not use them, then we may use them. But if you make sure that we come on with the next clip that's supposed to be, make sure they're in order, is what I'm saying. Thank you so much, because I didn't line y'all out there earlier. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. It's talking about this warfare mentality. It says, therefore, endure hardness. Now, Brian and I was talking about this very scripture yesterday. Now, this it says, therefore, endure heart as a good soldier. If I'm going to be a warrior for God, I'm going to learn how to endure some hard, hard things. I'm going to learn how to endure. I mean, if it's in your vocabulary, giving up, the Bible says, if you faint, nothing's going to good. It's going to happen in your life. If you faint, you're just going to be dead on the vine. And you're going to be a place for the devil to pot shot you. But in the name of Jesus, you refuse. I tell you what, I've laid on the floor and I've been so weak and felt like I was totally out. But I just lay there and say, devil, I refuse to die. I refuse to die. I refuse to give up. I refuse to faint. I refuse to faint. I refuse to faint. And so you've got to have that determination. Therefore, endure. Endurance is a fruit of the Spirit. Able to endure hard things. It's not you developing this mental attitude. No. It's you relying on the Holy Spirit. Endurance is a fruit of the Spirit. It flows. It's liquid strength. Everybody say it's liquid grace that's really able to flow into the life that's depending and putting the demand on it. How do you put the demand? By refusing to faint. You refuse to faint. Jesse, you had opportunity to faint the other day. You was burned on your job and it was a terrible situation, but you refused to faint. And that refusing. And when you refuse to faint, what you putting a demand on the Spirit of God for grace to flow in you. Somebody said, nobody giving me grace. It's because you're not demanding anything. You're not putting in demand. You're hiding behind things and you're running scared and you're running fear, you got to say, in Jesus' name, I'm not going to faint. And out of that heart that determines not to faint, then that opens the door for grace to flow into your life to give you a strength and ability not to faint. But let me tell you, it's endurance. Everybody say it's endurance. Enduring hardness is what it says. As a soldier, as a warrior, being able to endure it. The devil is as tough as you can make it. No, I really wouldn't encourage you to say that, but that's really the truth. Because you have taken a stance of a warrior. And what Paul's talking about was, and warriors in that day, he was referring to Roman soldiers that walked, I believe it was 5 breasts across, and would never back up. They would stand 5 breasts in front, as long as a line, as their battalion or whatever it was of men, and they would never back up. They would get their cadence of marching to the drum of the Lord. On the bottom of their feet, they had shoes with spikes that ranged from like 4 inches to 6 inches long. That's why they would pick their foot straight up, because any place that foot went down, that soldier determined, I can stand. And so they would march 5 abreast. If you fail in their path, because they was relentless warriors. And that's the context that we're speaking to, is relentless warriors that will refuse to give place to the enemy. Amen. Or everybody say a warrior's mentality. In a warrior's mentality, first we must become kingdom-minded. We must develop this kingdom mindset. And the kingdom mindset, Old Testament, and so many people still pray out of the Old Testament. And it's good to pray out of the Old Testament. I'm not saying it's wrong. And any level of prayer, I'm not here to say any level of prayer is wrong. But prayer reaches higher levels just like everything else in your life. And a lot of people pray based on only the experience of the Old Testament. And they're always asking God to come and help them. That is Old Testament faith. God, you come and help them. You come and help us. You come and help me. Because see, you see the battle as your battle. When really, New Testament says, that's not really your battle. It's really God's battle. And as long as you see it as your battle with health, your battle with finances, your battle, you're not kingdom mentality. But he is the rescuer of all that will call on his name. So he will come to the rescue. About 30-something years ago, I was in one of the deeper battles of my life. It seemed like every battle is the deepest battle of my life when you're in the midst of it. And this one had lasted for a period of several months. And I was out there at the old church. And out there at the old church, I was at the altar. And I was telling God, I was telling the Lord, Lord, I really didn't know whether I was going to be able to continue that battle. And I was sinking underneath the exhaustion of that battle. I was spiritually sinking. Now, each one of us here all have gifts. There's special gifts that God places in all of our lives. Mine, it happens to be visions. God has, ever since I've come to the Lord, the way God blesses me a lot of times is he'll give me a vision. It doesn't matter whether it's an open vision, I see with my eyes open. Most of them I've seen with my eyes open. And there's a few that I see with my eyes closed. But that's not any better than your gift or whatever gift. But so I speak out of my gifting. I just speak out of what happened to me. And at that time, I said, Lord, come help me. Come, God, come help me. And the Lord had been helping me. Because the battle I was engaged in, I would not have made it to that point if God had not been helping me. But God was getting ready to move me up into a higher level of warfare. And he was calling me to a place of greater strength and reliance on him. He was wanting to change my mentality from being an individual Christian trying to make it through this world into the mentality of that I was a part of a mighty force of God that was marching forward, and the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that I was a part in, it will suffer violence, and the violent will take it by force. God was wanting to change. So in the process of me standing there, I saw Jesus. And I saw Jesus approaching me. And so where I had walked until that time, I saw Jesus. This is what I was expecting him to do. I was expecting him to come and to lay hands on me. He'd done that before. I was expecting in this vision. Now you see it through your faith. Many of you see it through scripture. Somebody see it through. If you're a teacher, you see it through teaching. However you see it, however it expresses, this has to do a lot of times with your gifting. And a lot of times before, I'd seen Jesus as he would come. And I sought during this battle, during that battle, I sought for people to lay hands on me before. I tell you what, when you're going through a battle, honey, you kindly take good and proper and you throw it out the window. And no longer are you concerned with being proper. Help me, I'm dying, God. It's that kind of expression that begins. And so you don't hold your composure. And so during that period of time, I would literally grab people's hands. I would go into a place. I was so, felt like going down for the last time. I would literally grab people's hands and put them on my head. Be in a group, I would grab hands. I tried to grab as strong people as I knew, and I tried to touch me. But God wanted to elevate me to a new level. What you got to know, where you fought before, God wants to bring you to a higher place. And this higher place is going to be extremely strange to you. Because God is going to bring you up. There's times in my life, some battles, I can just handle it by myself. I tell you, some battles I can handle with just morning prayer. Morning prayer alone. Some battles that the enemy brings against it, I can just pray morning prayer and it'll handle that. Other battles, it would take morning and evening prayer. Other battles that I've went through that wouldn't move. See, it's a kingdom. It is a kingdom moving forward. It's a kingdom moving forward. Other battles that I would been in or have been in, I would have to gather someone else. Brother Donald so many times has been my prayer warrior that would stand with me in agreement. And then as we would agree, the force of darkness would move. Other times I've been in battles where Don and I and Lane, we couldn't move it to where then God would bring fasting on the scene. And we would fast, and some things would move with a day fast, and other things would move with a partial day fast, and some things have moved through a 3-day fast, and some things have moved through a 21-day fast, but some things in my life didn't move till a 50-day fast. But what I'm saying is, it's not that. It's whatever it is. If it's not moving, God's got to bring you to a higher level of warfare to see it move for the glory of God. God has to bring you to the place, because there is no place to faint. Not to a soldier. To a soldier, there is no place to faint. Because as you become kingdom-minded, it's not me and my house anymore. The very attack against you whether it's a relationship attack, whether it's a physical attack, whether it's a financial attack, whatever it is, God wants to elevate you to the place to where you can accept and receive by faith that this is an attack against the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. And as long as you keep that battle just between you, then you're going to constantly be crying out for Jesus to come help you. And he is a rescuer, but you're a part of a bigger. The Bible says that we've been translated. When I got saved, I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness. I've been translated into a mighty, powerful kingdom of God now. Kingdom of his son, the Bible says. And this kingdom is a kingdom that's suffering violence. And the violent is taking it by force. One verse says, the violent people come to take it away from us, and we refuse to let it go. Because what the enemy is trying to do is to belittle the cross. As long as he can keep it hid from you that you're a part of something much bigger moving forward, as long as the devil can do that, it's not confrontation of the cross. But when it comes to a place to where you can see, God, this attack, I may be the vessel that is attacking, but this attack is really against you. The devil's trying to say that your healing at the cross didn't work. The devil's trying to say that your provision at the cross didn't work. The devil's trying to say that your peace that came from the cross didn't work. It becomes a much greater winnable war. You understand? Now, and so here I was at that altar, and I was standing there, and God was trying to elevate me, trying to bring me up to where I could see I could see it from a totally different view. And while I was standing at that altar, Jesus was walking toward me. Now, I said, where my faith, where my understanding was at that time, that Jesus was going to come and simply lay hands on me, and I was going to receive strength and power for that battle. But what happened was Jesus walked to me. I felt him. I can still feel it. Something about things spiritual, they stay with you for eternity. And I could feel his, so to speak, flesh but not flesh, but I could feel his presence. He got right here, right next to me, and he pushed up against me. At that point, I knew I didn't understand what Jesus was doing, because I expected him to stop a little bit away and to lay hands and pray for me. But the amazing thing about it, he didn't stop. He kept pushing and pushing until he pushed himself into me. He was trying to let me know, Jerry, this is my battle, son. This is my battle. This is my battle. This is my battle. Now, why is it important for you to have spiritual mentality, kingdom mentality, to understand that? Because, see, you stand somewhere in authority in your life. Somewhere in your life, you stand in authority. If you're a mom, then you stand what you see. If you was to draw physically what you see is that mom standing here and all her little kids behind her. That mom, man, she's ready to be a she-bear. She's ready to attack anything that tries to attack. Now, if you're a daddy, you see yourself standing in that same authority. One thing, you're standing in front of mom. That's the way you see yourself, because you're head of that household. And because and as you see yourself, and you're ready. But I'm going to tell you what, you're going to really begin to move in a place strong in the Lord when you see there's one other one that loves you so much that he's come and he stands in front of you. You may be standing in front of her, and she may be standing in front of them, but there's somebody that loves you so much, and the Bible says he is the mighty warrior, the mighty warrior to come and to stand in front of you. So the assault against you, it's not against you. Kingdom mentality. You got to think that way. You got to pray that way. You got to release faith that way. That the assault against you, and it's not, we're all so caught up with ourselves. Well, if I don't get healed, it's going to be discredit me. Get off of you. Get off of you. Get off of you. Because I'll tell you what, I'll fight for my credit, but to a certain degree. And when that endurance takes it to the point to where I say, well, man, you can take your honor and go. I'm leaving here, you know. I'm ready to check out. But honey, there's not a one of us that will allow the cross of Jesus to be discredited, not on our watch. And when you see it as an assault against what Jesus has done for you, when you see it as an assault of what Jesus has promised you, when you see it as an assault of what Jesus has given you at the cross and at the resurrection, all of a sudden you will stand up and you say, not on my watch. You may discredit me, but I will never allow you, dirty demon devil, to ever discredit the power of the cross. And it will form an endurance inside you that you will be able to stand and conquer for the glory of God. Can you say amen? So it's just so important that we realize that I must become kingdom minded. Second thing, I must accept the way of faith as an acceptable condition. A warrior is not always fussing over conditions. We're always fussing over conditions. It can be the condition of somebody overlooking you, or the condition of what it's going to do to you, or the condition of... A warrior comes to understand, I will always live a life of faith. Therefore, I will always believe some things I can't see. And I'll trust in one that I can't feel. But I'm a warrior. And a warrior will stand on that what just as much and will refuse to relent because it's by faith. I'm amazed at people that criticize the faith. Well, why am I having to believe God so hard? Because you're in the kingdom. That's the kingdom air. The kingdom, the atmosphere is a breath of what I can't see. But I believe inside that it's real for the glory of God. I'm going to tell you, some weak ones can't do that. Weak ones can't do that because they're always grumbling and complaining about their conditions. Well, bless God, my job's not working out. Bless God, nobody mad at me. Bless God. Listen, a kingdom-minded person will not grumble over the state that God has found him in. Because that state that God's found him in is the place for him to value the cross. And the cross has tried to be so devalued. Wherever that state is that you're in this morning, it's you're to value that cross to the point to where you say, you know what? I won't give up. I won't quit. I won't stop. I won't back up. I won't. Amen. Because that's valuing the cross. Instead of complaining what God's not doing for you, you begin to understand, I'm part of the kingdom. You don't tell Jesus about a kingdom that wasn't violent. They violently beat him. They violently pulled his beard out. You don't tell Paul that it's not a violent kingdom. Paul was beat with rods, boiled with oil, and left for dead. You understand? But they remained because they was determined, I will not devalue the promises of that cross. I will value. So whatever it takes, I will stay and remain until the value of that cross breaks through. And the value of that cross that God has given to me comes to pass in my life for the glory of God. Amen. So there's no whiners. Warriors are not whiners. Warriors are not always complaining about the state that they're in. Somebody say, well, you know what? I don't have enough money to pay my bills. That's the state you're in. But the Bible tells us the power of being satisfied with the state we're in, but we know this is not the state I'm going to remain. Amen. God is busy. And God is working. And from the very place I find myself in today, I'm not going to be there tomorrow, and I sure won't be there next week, and I won't be there. And there'll come a day where I'll never see this day again for the glory of God because of the power of the cross that's at work. And when we, with our own testimony, begin to devalue, not treasure, not consider as precious, what Jesus did on that cross, then we have become part of the problem and we've exited the part of the answer. So, and the third thing is, I will not accept a weakened position, talking about the attitudes of a soldier. There are certain things in your life that weaken you. You know that. And the enemy, what he's going to do is come and try to convince you there's nothing you can do about it. And you know that issue is a weakening effect in your life. And you've got to come to a place to determine, I won't be weakened. Now, out of that place of that determination, I won't be weakened, it's going to pull you into the presence of God, pull you into the power. It's going to pull you in on a demand on the presence of God like you've never been in before. Because when you realize what weakness will do to you, you ask the warrior what weakness would do to him, the warrior knows he would die on the field of battle. Several years ago, Reba McEntire, she used to be, not Reba, yeah, Reba, Dottie's daughter. It's McGuire now. Well, it takes several of us, but we're going to preach it to you. It takes several of us to get us all together. Years and years ago, in fact, it was during the Vietnam War when it really was, and she was part of the group that goes there and entertains troops. She was vibrant in spiritual warfare. And so she had an opportunity that you and I don't have. She was able to sit down at a table with the biggest generals in Vietnam at that time. Being even in that time, she was a young girl. But she asked the major general at that point in time, she said, "General, what's the greatest fighting man that you have in Vietnam?" The general did not even flinch. The general said, "That's easy." Because she was expecting him to say the Green Berets. It was pre-SEAL day, but they had also groups like that. But the general responded with, "It's those that have seen the eye of the tiger." Well, the same way you feel, that what does that mean? The same way she felt. She said, "What are you talking about, General? Those that have seen the eye of the tiger." She said, "It's the fighting soldier that the devil has, or that the enemy has knocked him down, and he's a hair's breadth from death. And there with that enemy's foot on his face, he says in his heart, 'If I get up, you'll never get me in this place again.'" And he gets up. He said, "That's the strongest fighting man." I believe that's also an issue with us as believers. It's those that have been tortured by the enemy. Endurance has run weak. I mean, endurance has been running so long. You come to a place, you sense tiredness, but man, you know there's no way out. You understand? You know what giving up says. You know what the option of giving up will bring. You know what it will demonstrate. You know what it will ruin. You know what will, the devil will have a heyday with that. So you just determine. "And when I get up, lousy devil, I'll never let you get me in this place again in Jesus' name." And so what happens is you develop a warfare mentality that never walked into any battle unless Jesus is up in front of that battle, walking in that battle ahead of you for the glory of God. Because you know the devil may could get you, but he'll never get him. Can you say amen? And so the Lord's building a mentality of war, a warrior's mentality into our lives. And the fourth one is this: I'll be proactive and I just won't be reactive. The word reactive, you know what it means? I looked at antonyms of proactive, antonyms of proactive. It meant weak. One was lazy. One was dwindling away. All the negatives we can think of go with that side that's just reactive. What do I mean? If you're just responding to the devil's attack, you're not a warrior. You've got to bring your life to a place to where you're proactive. Now, 3 weeks ago, Brother Robert Madu so beautifully shared with us the precious power that's from the water, you know, to the wilderness. One little part that he didn't mention, I know he didn't have time to mention, was when a person has been touched by Jesus at the water, they're led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Why is that important? Because Jesus had given the promise that the gates of hell is what won't prevail. Do you understand? That's proactive. That means you have got to come to a place spiritually where that you're attacking hell. And hell is not just attacking you. So whatever place you're in, whatever battle you're in, whatever it is going on, you've got to lift yourself up through the grace of God. And we're going to talk about the grace of God in one of these services. We're going to lift ourselves up with the grace of God. And you got to say, you lousy devil, I'm coming after you. Do you hear that? I'm coming after you. And then you have got to move your forces. That's why when people are just needing healing, then you should be aggressively fighting the devil for souls. Do you understand? As long as you're just reacting, as long as you're just reacting to what he's attacking, your whole life, he'll keep you powerless right there all your life. As long as you're just reacting to what he's attacking. But when you become a warrior, you say, I'm marching forward, come hell or high waters, what my mom used to say. Come hell or high waters, I'm going to march forward for the glory of God. And you determine everything, devil, that you're for, I'm against. Everything that you want, I don't want it. Everything that you're trying to attack, I'm going to attack you on behalf of that. And then instead of crying about your own issue, let me tell you, I don't underestimate that. I know what it is. When you're in an issue, everything about you is pressuring you to be concerned over your issue. But your strength and your power of the warrior is that he goes after the gate of hell right in the midst of his attack against him. And as he goes after the gate of hell, God said, that won't prevail against you. That gate won't be able to stop you. You are knocked down that gate and you will gain for the glory of God. A lot of times I'll talk to people and I say, would you like to do something for Jesus? And they say, oh, Pastor, I've been in too big a battle. God, wow. That's the reason I've asked you. Because you're in a battle, man. Because you're in a battle. That's the reason we ask you. Because you're in a battle. You got to let it get bigger than you. Kingdom minded, you got to let it get bigger than you. As long as it's just you, you're going to always be trying to get Jesus to help you. But the moment you become kingdom minded and you say, you lousy devil that's holding my sister's son in bondage, I'm doing war against you. And at the same time, I'm just going to get my healing too, devil. You hear that? Because I am a part of a powerful, wonderful, ongoing move of the kingdom of God for the glory of God. Now we're going to stop now we got just a few minutes left in this service. We've got about 14 minutes left. We're going to stop for a time for the Holy Spirit to let power accompany his word. It's an important time. The Lord sent me here today with an agenda. The agenda is this. Some of you have been experiencing panic attacks. And the Lord sent me here with a war against panic attacks. The panic attack, let me explain to you very quickly. The panic attack is an attack against you. It's not of you. Because God did not give you that spirit of fear. And that's just the way I feel like God's going to heal. God wants to heal all of those today that has been experiencing panic attacks. What it is this. You've been vibrant for the Lord. And the devil has sent the spirit of fear to bring you down. Now, that's not what these are gathered here for. We're going to pray over something else in just a moment. But I want first, if you've been experiencing panic attacks, I went to El Dorado. When I was at El Dorado Wednesday night preaching, while I was praying at the altar, the devil attacked a woman with a panic attack. While I was there praying with her. Man, that thing just began to make her tremble. I mean, that thing began to just come on her. I'm going to tell you what, the devil overplayed his hand. Because in a few moments, she was completely free. See, that's the kingdom. We're against panic attacks. Somebody say, we're against all that the devil would try to bring harm into your life with. In the early service this morning, I said, Lord sent me here today for healing of panic attacks. And we had a real small early service. So I didn't really expect anybody. In that small service, there was a 6 or 7 that had been fighting against the panic attacks in their life. So I'm going to quickly ask that this is no, we're just going to pray for this, then we're going to move right into nothing very quickly. But if you're experiencing panic attacks of any way, if you feel like, I want you to simply stand right where you're sitting. Simply right. Because we're going to take authority. We're going to help you. The Lord has sent help for you. God has sent help for you. You've been experiencing these onslaughts, and you can tell them they come on quickly. They're in a quick assault against you. They try to catch you in a place where God has destined you and helped you to have faith, and right in the middle of that, he attacks with this panic attack. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come this morning to take authority over all of the power of the enemy. Saints that are agreeing with me right now across this building, Lord, we come and we stand as an army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, the Bible says that I should not allow anything in my life that's not allowed in heaven. That's what the Bible says. I shouldn't, what abound on earth, be bound in heaven, loose in earth, loose in heaven. Well, that says to me, Lord, that I don't have to put up with, I should not put up with anything that heaven doesn't put up with. And this I know, Lord, there are no panic attacks in heaven. Because that's the spirit of fear. So in the name of Jesus, as the saints are agreeing with me right now, we break that attack. We break that satanic panic attack over your life. We command you to be loosed in the name of Jesus. We bind Satan's power. We bind it from operating against you anymore. We can say, you spirit of fear, get gone. Loose these in Jesus' name. Loose these lies. You've came to try to destroy peace, and we won't allow you to destroy peace in Jesus' name. Now, you that we just prayed over, won't you look at me just for a quick minute? It's a spirit of fear. The Bible said God did not give us a spirit of fear. But God has given you a spirit, but not the spirit of fear. God's given you the Holy Spirit. The next time that thing knocks on your door, what I want you to do, I want you to just take a moment. I want you to say, precious Holy Spirit, I'm fixing to breathe you in. Let me tell you what. I'm fixing to breathe you in. And just as God stood over Adam and breathed that life into Adam, by your faith, you're going to draw the breath of the Holy Spirit into your life. That's not only going to bring healing, but it's also going to occupy the room that panic attack tried to. So I want you just right there. I want you to say, Lord, I'm fixing to breathe you in. I'm going to breathe in. Lord, I ask that I would breathe in the Holy Spirit into my life. Go ahead and take your deep breath. Just breathe it. Now just release everything you don't want in there. Just release everything you don't want in there. Just release it. Come on, let's breathe in the Holy Spirit again. Lord, we breathe in your breath. We breathe in your breath. little cattle. There's such a sweet peace in the Lord, isn't it? Such a sweet peace. The other thing, if you're going to maintain it and make it through this battle, now you that pray for you, just go ahead and stand or be seated, whatever that you want. You keep breathing in the Lord. And the breath of God. Now, not breath of air, breath of God. Now you exemplify that by using the breath of air, but it's the breath of God. You breathe in by your faith. You breathe in the breath of God. Every time you feel that trying to knock on you. Joyce, will that work? Joyce, will that work? That'll work. Joyce has been under that attack some time ago. I tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to displace all other spirits. The Holy Spirit wants to displace everything in our life. And the other thing is that some of you are in a battle and you feel, you sense, I hate to use that word feel, but you feel weakness. And the Lord wants to help you. I've met with these that are up here this morning. We've prayed and we've set it forth. And I've asked them to be a conduit of the strength of God. All that we do as a person, we go up to the presence of God and we twist a little water hose onto it. And we're that water hose. And then we offer it to you. It has nothing to do with what's in us. It has everything to do with what's in Him. If some of you need strength for your journey, I want you to come very quickly. I want you to let these just take a moment and lay hands on you. Come on, respond. Come on, real quick with me. Man, if you need strength, don't you devalue the cross. You value the cross. You say, my answer's there. My answer's there. My answer's there. My answer's there. You just say, I'll say, my answer's there. My answer's at that cross. I'm not going to devalue that cross. My answer's at that cross. Anyone else need to come? Anyone else? Anyone else for a flow of supernatural strength? That's what God told me this morning. Supernatural strength was going to be able to flow. Supernatural strength is going to be able to. Anybody else need to come? Anyone else? Very quickly. Supernatural strength. Supernatural strength.